The following is a Hoop Bowl presentation.
What's up, Grizz Nation? Welcome to the show. I'm your host, David Williams. Got a surprise special guest tonight. Mr. Isaac Simpson is joining me for the post game. Isaac, welcome back, man.
Man, glad to be back on, man. Always fun to be on the Hoop Bowl podcast, Grizz podcast with David Williams, man, and talking about a big win, big Grizzlies win here tonight.
Memphis Grizzlies beat the Charlotte Hornets 108-93 to improve to 2-3 on the season. And this was not at all what I expected.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. You go up to Boston and get your doors blown off, and you're thinking this is the last game of this road trip. They might kind of just mail this in and try to get back home and kind of regroup. But that is absolutely not what happened, man. The Grizzlies played their best game of the year here tonight. And you kind of looking at it, they're 2-3, even preseason, going through my predictions. I had the Grizzlies 3-2 right now, and that was winning two of those first two home games. And they will go 2-1 on this road trip. That's even better than I thought they could do if they're healthy. Now, will they continue on the pace of being close to what I predicted without Ja here going forward? Maybe not, but I think if you're on the hold the line crowd, I think you feel pretty good right now.
Oh, yeah, definitely. That's it's scary. You know, I mean, Grayson has not really been contributing all that much this year. He's been struggling, but, you know, to lose another guy with everybody that the Grizzlies have already got out, I'm like, man, what kind of train wreck are we going to have in these next few games until we get some guys healthy? But, you know, tonight looked really good. Great team win. They were moving the ball well in the offensive end. I don't know. Let's see what they finished. Total assists, 30-something, 34 total assists. You know, they were talking about it on the broadcast that the Grizzlies were 15-5 last season in games where they had 30 or more assists. So starting off good, 2021, the Grizzlies are undefeated.
Yeah, and this Hornets team have been playing well. And it went over the Mavericks in their last game, looking really good against the Mavericks. So I expected this to be a tough one. I thought it was a game that if the Grizzlies could keep it close down to the fourth quarter, they could win. But, I mean, this was a thorough victory. I mean, the Grizzlies pretty much dominated this game. And they had a couple lulls where offensively where they weren't making shots there, especially early in the game in the second quarter. But for the most part, they pretty much dominated this game. And, I think you got to just feel good. I mean, about guys, you got Brandon Clark, who's a guy that's kind of been talked about here early in the season, what was going on with him. And I think he's back. I was one of those guys that at first was saying, well, it's only been a couple games. Give the guy time. He's coming back from injury. But I was kind of worried after that last game. But he really came out tonight, and he looks like Brandon Clark of old. He has that bounce back. I mean, he's getting shots at the rim, getting tip backs, dunking the basketball. So I feel really good about that. I mean, I think that was one thing that they were missing, I think, in those first couple games, even before Ja went down. I think they needed good BC, and I think they have that back right now. And I think that's a big plus for this basketball team.
They do. You know, he missed, you know, his shot still does not look good.
That's kind of what worries me.
You know, I think that, so, you know, we're looking, this off season was what, like 70 something days. And generally an off season is somewhere in the, like, I think I looked it up. The average is like 155 days.
Yeah. Something like that.
So, you know, you're making changes to your shot mechanics in a shortened off season. You know, you think about the amount of reps that he would have got up with this new shot, you know, over the course of 80 plus more days, it probably would have looked a lot better. You can tell he's getting his legs underneath him. You know, he played 31 minutes tonight, and that's his most by a long shot so far this season. And he looked good. One of the big things I think for like the Hornets, their three big guys, you know, Rozier, Graham, and Hayward, they all struggled. Hayward was, you know, he done the best of the three, but they combined for 23 points and shot like 7-34 from the field. And so when the Grizzlies were doing a good job, you were talking about rotations and communication on the defensive end, and the Grizzlies were doing a great job of that. And they held three guys that are, you know, Rozier went off for like 44 in the first game of the season. You know what Hayward can do, and Devontae Graham had a big year last year. He's capable of blowing up as well, and they done a great job keeping those guys off balance tonight.
Yeah, they did a fantastic job against all three of those guys. I tweeted before the game that Terry Rozier really worried me going into this one, and that teaches you game for game. You just never know what's going to happen in the NBA, because I said, Tyus, I thought this was a game where he would probably struggle going up against Rozier, and here we go. He had his best game of the season so far, played really well and really kind of set those guys down. So you just never know what's going to happen. But if those three guys for the Hornets don't put points on the board, they're going to struggle. And that's exactly what we saw here tonight. And again, like you said, those defensive rotations were just fantastic tonight. Hopefully that carries forward, because if you play that kind of defense the way they played tonight, they can win some ball games even without Ja and some of the guys that are out. Grayson probably is not going to be out that long. I mean, he warmed up tonight, and it was a game-time decision, so he could possibly be back Sunday. I expect if he doesn't play Sunday, he would probably definitely be back on Tuesday. So I'm feeling good right now about this team. I mean, again, you got two games against the world champion Lakers coming in here back at FedEx Forum. That's going to be tough, but again, man, really impressed with this team on both ends of the floor tonight. And again, they did a fantastic job, because Terry Rozier is a guy that in the past is really, he's playing well early here this year, and he's really going off against the Grizz in the past, and they did a fantastic job on him tonight.
Really did. Absolutely. Man, you know, the thing with Tyus for me, you can really tell when he is on, when his floater is falling.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, I mean, he only shot the ball 7 times tonight. You don't look for a lot of scoring necessarily from Tyus. He's not a guy that's going to go out there and get you 25 or 30 points, but he needs that floater to be falling in order for him to be effective. Cause if they, you know, if they know it's off and they don't respect that floater, then they can play the pass and take a lot away from his game. And, you know, he was able to knock it down a couple times tonight and keep him honest. And so that was, worked well, worked to his advantage, and he made some great passes and just put guys in a good spot to put the ball in the basket. I'm going to run through a little bit of stats, and if there's anything you want to chime in with, you just pop in here, man. Brandon Clark, he was 15-4, 3 assists, 2 blocks. Kyle Anderson, he is playing way better.
Man.
Way better than that. And so I will say this. I was never a Kyle hater. I was never against Kyle. But I never would have expected this from him, what he's doing this year. He's playing phenomenal.
Man, even being a Kyle Anderson guy, I mean, all summer, when people had his bags packed, I was saying, man, not so fast, man. Let's hold on to this guy. This guy makes winning plays. I didn't even expect this. So, I mean, I think we could all kind of look at this and say, man, this is phenomenal what he's doing. I think an early candidate for most improved player, definitely. I mean, he's probably the best player on his team right now. And I never thought that we would say – we would be dependent on Kyle Anderson's offense to kind of keep us afloat. But I mean, that's where we are right now. And he's been doing a phenomenal job.
Yeah. 18, 11, 5 assists, 2 steals and a block, doing it everywhere tonight. Tyus Jones, 6 points, 1 rebound, 12 assists.
Man, 1 turnover, Dylan man. Brooks. 12 assists, hey, 1 turnover, man. That's ridiculous, hey, man.
Takes care of the ball, man. That is my favorite part about his game, is he takes care of the ball. Dylan Brooks had 21 tonight. 47% from the field. That's, you know, Dylan actually loaded up the stat sheet tonight, too. 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 steals, 1 block. JV, 5th straight double-double, 14 and 10. Desmond Bain, 10 points, 2 rebounds, 4 assists. He shot the ball more tonight. The shots were not falling, but I'm encouraged by this. We have seen glimpses of what Bain can do, and I want to see him getting up in the double-digit shot attempts, especially while we're undermanned. I think that, you know, you need him taking 12, 15 shots a game. And that's, you know, it was a little bit of an off night for him tonight, but I want to see more of this going forward.
Oh, definitely agree. The shot wasn't quite falling for him here tonight, but, I mean, we've seen that this guy can really knock it down. And, I mean, he gets good looks. They create good looks for him. And he definitely, they need to get him more shots. We've kind of talked about the fact that Taylor Jenkins won't put him in the starting lineup. I mean, he even though the shot wasn't falling tonight, he was doing some other things. He had some good passes. He did some good things out there. And we know the shot's going to fall. So, man, just keep letting it fly. Like I said, man, 12, 15 shots a game, whatever he can get up. I think they need to continue to find him on those spot-up looks.
Yeah, you know, it was funny to me. There were some people that were when he was kind of distributing the ball a little bit, I saw a couple tweets of Desmond Bane, the playmaker, and I'm like, this shouldn't surprise you. It shouldn't. You like, we talked about him before the season, and we know what he can do. But, you know, it's funny to watch some of these fans that don't really know that much about him, seeing what he can bring to the table.
Yeah, when I see those tweets, everybody's kind of on the train now. It's like, man, we were talking about this before the Grizzlies were even in position. Do you thought they could get this guy? We were kind of talking about that on that podcast that day. So, I see some of those tweets. I'm like, everybody's seeing what we saw before the draft. But I think he's going to be a tremendous pick. And, again, I mean, it's good to finally have a guard, a wing that can knock down shots. I mean, that's weird to say that, but in Grizzlies history, we really haven't had a lot of that. A guy that you're really confident that pretty much every time he puts it up, it's going in. Back to probably Mike Miller was the last time we've had a guy like that on the wing. So it's really good to have a guy like that, and I think he's going to be tremendous for this team, especially when they're fully healthy. I mean, you get Jaren Jackson Jr. back in there, and you got him and JV, and it's going to really open up the floor even more. And you got two guys with Bane and Jackson that can knock down threes. I think it's going to be a really good pick for them, and I think it's going to pay dividends.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Oh, Jitty had a pretty good game doing Jitty things. 7 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists, and a steal. Just hustling all over the floor, man.
Man. And that's, just, I was going to say, just make plays, man. He just does. He's always around the basketball, man. Big offensive rebounds, getting in the passing lane, tipping balls. I mean, he's was fantastic tonight. Just like you said, all-around game, man. Hit a couple threes tonight. Did he get two threes? One? I know he hit a three. No, he hit at least one.
He hit one, yeah, yep.
Yeah, but I mean, he's phenomenal. And that contract is just fantastic. You look at that deal he's on for a guy that most guys getting paid that are not contributors on the team. And to have a guy on that deal that can come in and play minutes for you when needed is big. And that's why I was so happy when they re-signed him. I think it's a phenomenal deal for him. And it's just a guy that comes in and make one of the plays. Whatever you ask him to do, he can come in and do it. And it's good to have those type of guys on your bench.
And this was one of the signings, you know, the offseason signings that they made. I was super happy about this one. I know a lot of people are high on Melton, and I don't dislike him by any stretch. But, you know, this contract for Conchar, I think, is significantly better than the Melton contract. And, you know, it's – I almost tweeted this out the other day, and I held it back. But you look at what Josh Jackson is doing in Detroit.
Damn.
And it's like, okay, so which contract do you like better, Josh Jackson or De'Anthony Melton?
Yeah, and I was go ahead.
Yeah, I realize those guys, they bring two different things to the table, but for what the Grizzlies' needs are, I think that Josh Jackson is the answer for me.
Yeah, I was a big proponent of Josh Jackson, even when they had him down with the hustle. I was like, why don't you bring this guy up? He's talented, he's young, he fits the timeline. They waited their time, but it kind of paid off there in the end. But it's weirdly, when they went to the bubble, he was just out of the rotation. They had been playing really well pre-shutdown, and I think they just kind of made the decision that they weren't bringing him back, and Grayson was going to be here next year, and they kind of wanted to see what Grayson would do. And I think that's kind of the decision they made. I think they might have made a mistake there. I mean, he's been phenomenal up in Detroit, and I mean, they shouldn't be surprised, though, because he was playing well when he was here for pre-bubble. So I didn't really understand. That's one of the only question marks I have about Kleiman, other than if you want to credit them for Marco Gudurek, if you want to say that was a mistake. I mean, that's a low risk thing anyway.
That was not a low risk. You know, to me, like what they were paying him $2 million. So that's a low risk chance of a guy. And, you know, he could shoot. He really could. You know, like overseas, he was like, I think right around or maybe just over 50% from
deep. Yeah.
So it just didn't translate. He could not pick up the speed of the game over here. You know, you're not going to bat 1,000. You're going to miss sometimes. That's just a part of it. You know, the thing is, I felt like, you know, he's definitely hitting more than he's missing at this point, and I hope that continues. So, you know, who knows? In the end, the you know, he may look like a genius with this Melton contract, and Melton is a guy – do you know when he's coming back? He's on did he test positive for COVID, or was he in contact with somebody? Cause that's what it's like. The protocols is why he's out right now. His is not an injury, right?
Yeah. They haven't really said. I would assume that it's contact tracing. They haven't said that he tested positive. So that's kind of what I'm thinking, but I mean, he's been out for a while. I mean, there's so much going on with these protocols. I'm not even sure what the rules are. Maybe it's a certain amount of time that they think you've had contact, that you have to stay out. So that's definitely one to watch. I kind of even forgot it. Weirdly, I forgot about him tonight and thinking about him as a guy being out, which is weird because you had guys, Conchar, guys like that coming in playing so well that you kind of didn't even miss him tonight. But I think that's a guy that you could probably get back pretty soon. So that would definitely help in this rotation. And the question with Melton with me is because he consistently knocked down threes, and he had been doing that here early in this season. So if he can stay consistent to three-pointer, I mean, with his defense, I think he's a really plus for this team as well.
For sure, yep. Gorgui had another double-digit scoring night, 14 points, 8 rebounds, 2 blocks. He was 2 for 5. He is not scared to shoot the three. That's a Sam and I talked about this.
No, he's not. Show.
I'm like, man, Gorgui will just – he'll just pull it, man. You know, if he gets the ball, they're not contesting, he's going to let it fly. So, you know, I would like to see those threes go to like Bane or somebody like that. But, you know, he's knocking them down at a 40% rate. All right, keep shooting them, big man.
Yeah, I think he was like 2 for 2 or 5 tonight. And you got to like that big one-handed dunk he had, man. The hezzy move, sees parted, man. He went up there and dunked it, man. He was having fun out there tonight, man. I enjoyed him, man, playing, making plays on the defensive end. He's been good. I just wish he'd not shoot the three so much, but other than on the defensive end, he's been really good. I mean, he's had some big blocks. I know people have kind of got on him before the shooting, but I mean, he knocked down 2 tonight. So he had one where I was like, don't do that. He hit it, but I was like, don't do that again. It went from the top of the key that he hit. I was like, man, we don't want to see a lot of that. But man, like,
Yeah. Okay. Right.
But yeah, I mean, he played well tonight, man, on both ends. I was glad to see him have a big game as well.
Yeah, McDermott struggled, and man, I don't expect a lot from him. You know, it undrafted guy coming out, and he is just kind of tossed into – you go from not playing an NBA game to, all right, now you're getting 20 minutes a game. I would think that there would be some nerves there. And on his first shot attempt of the night, it missed everything. It was not good. He knocked one down there toward the end, so I was happy.
Yeah, he finally got that corner three. You know,
maybe getting the butterflies out, you knock down your first one, maybe the next ones will kind of be a little bit easier for you. But we may have Melton back. If Melton is back, you know, I don't know that he even that, you know, they're still at 10 healthy guys, maybe 11 if Grayson can come back whenever we get back home against LA. We'll see how that goes. But yeah, you could definitely, I think it's more nerves than anything with him tonight, but it's he's not ready. He needs some G League time for sure.
Oh, for sure. I'm still, even in the current roster state they're in, I'm kind of surprised with how many minutes he's getting. Even like I said, with guys being out, but he's definitely a guy that's going to need some seasoning. I wish Killian Tilly was healthy and he was getting those minutes, because he's a guy that I really would like to get a look at. I don't know how serious those injuries are. You just never know whether they're just kind of saying things with guys, the guys that they're not going to play. You just never know what with those things. Yeah. But he's a guy that really intrigues me, that can shoot with his size. I think he's probably more of a guy that could probably step in right now and maybe do something for you than McDermott. So hopefully we get to see him at some point. The G League is starting to bubble here, I think, sometime in February. So these guys are going to be around. I mean, they're going to have opportunity to play. If he can get healthy, I'd like to see that. But McDermott, he did finally get that one to go, so he has his first NBA three. But he's definitely going to be a guy that's going to be with the hustle and get some work in there. But I mean, I guess it doesn't hurt to get the experience now. I mean, especially in a game you're winning anyway. You don't want to see him playing minutes like that in a game that you're getting beat. Like, it's just awful up in Boston, and you got McDermott out there on the floor and you down by 30. So,
Jalen Green just, or not Jalen Green, Brown, Jalen Brown. Like, man, dude was not missing. I've been talking about Jalen Green so much today. Name's popping up on the show, but you know, he was just on fire in that game. You know, you're overmatched. Boston is, you know, that championship aspiration. That's like, the Grizzlies are not at that point yet. So when you're missing your best players and you're going up against a team like that, I was surprised that game did not get further out of hand than what it did. But yeah, you don't want a guy like McDermott in there when you really need to try and turn it around, because right now he just doesn't have it. So, man, I kind of wanted to get your thoughts on a couple things, as, you know, we've talked about all the guys. And is there anybody that played tonight? Is there anything that we haven't talked about that you want to go over?
We pretty much talked about anything. I just like what Ty has, man. The 12 assists, 1 turnover, I think, is just fantastic. I mean, he's plus 25 tonight. Kyle Anderson, plus 25. And Kyle just getting it done all over the floor, like we talked about, 18 points, I mean, 11 rebounds, double-double, 5 assists, and 0 turnovers for a guy that's not a real point guard. And you put him on the ball, he has 5 assists, no turnovers. I mean, you gotta love that. I mean, again, man, Kyle is just out of this world right now. Even as a guy who, again, I was a big Kyle supporter over the the short offseason, if you really want to call that. But I didn't even see this coming, and he's if it wasn't for him right now, man, I think this team would really be struggling. But I mean, he's getting it done on both ends of the floor. He's euro stepping with the floaters, man. He's hitting threes. I mean, he's just doing it all. Hopefully, this is sustainable. I mean, it looks good here through five games. But usually, you think it'll drop off right now. I think this might be something. I don't know if you're going to see 18 points from every night, especially when you get guys back. But for him to play as well as he has, I think that's a really big plus. And again, we talked about BC as far as his lift and everything that seems to be back. And you just wonder when you're going to get some guys back. Justin Winslow was supposed to be back before Jaren Jackson Jr., so that's something to watch. Grayson may be back on Sunday. I think if not Sunday, probably definitely Tuesday. So get some guys back. Also, John Morant out without a boot on, working out before the game started. We got to talk about the Grizzlies probably being cautious with him. I don't know if they're going to be able to keep him down. Josh's probably going to try to come back in a couple weeks if it's up to him.
Yeah. The thing with his back last year when he took that knee to the back from the cameraman, and there were talks about him being out longer, and he was back. I think it was – I want to say it was like 7 or 8 days. And
yeah.
He was back. And, you know, from the looks of that injury when it happened, you know, I'm thinking worst-case scenario, obviously. But, yeah, I think that the competitor in him is not going to – you know, I think it's on the sooner rather than later end of that 3 to 5 weeks. I know that there were some people saying they thought, you know, the Grizzlies are being cautious.
Yeah.
They think that it may go longer than that 5 weeks, but I don't know. I agree with you 100% on, you know, Ja is probably not going to allow that to happen. He is going to be hounding them to get back out there on the floor.
Yeah. Cause I was saying the same thing. I was saying probably with the way the Grizzlies operate and kind of the vision for the season, it might even be 6 weeks, but seeing that post on Instagram before the game where he's out there with a shoe on and no boot out there, getting up shots, working out already. I just can't see him being out any longer than definitely not 5 weeks, not with the competitive nature that he has. I mean, he's a warrior. He's going to try to get back out there. It's just crazy because when that injury happened, I was thinking ACL or something yeah. bad, just kind of the reaction that he had and had to bring out the wheelchair. And I know how tough he is. That's what really made me think it was something major, knowing Jai, knowing the competitor and how tough he is, the way he reacted, it looked really bad. But when he came back out on the bench with the boot on, I felt a little bit better then and came up as a grade two ankle sprain. And I definitely think he's going to be back a little bit sooner, I think, than we were all speculating, even with the organization being conservative. I think he's going to push so hard that he's going to be back out there sooner rather than later.
Yeah. If I had one big gripe about, you know, the front office and the coaching staff right now, it's the transparency with yeah. injuries. And you get nothing. I've listened to interview after interview, and anytime that it is a Justice or Jaren, anytime it's an injury question, you get the same generic, oh, you know, they're progressing just fine.
Yeah. Week to week. Day,
whenever they're healthy. And it's like, man, give me something, anything other than just like a scripted generic response. So that's it's infuriating at times, but I'll take it. I know that they're doing the right thing with these guys. I'm not on the side that I want them to rush back. I'd rather them be 100%. They had the pregame in Boston, the NBA League Pass. It was showing them warm up, and Justice was out there. I saw him putting in work, and he was looking pretty good. So, no telling with him, but I think that, yeah, I'm hoping maybe next week I'm going to throw it out there. I don't know that he's going to be back next week, but I'm hoping that he's back next week. I'm going to put you on the spot here, man. We've got a HoopBall they've started a Discord. And so any of our subscribers, the premium subscribers, they got HoopBall 360, Fantasy Pass, different stuff like that, that they get access to the HoopBall Discord. And so I've been posting in there and having guys, you know, asking them if they have any questions leading up to the game. So I'm going to give you, we've got a guy, I answered his question on the last show. Lefty is a guy's name from the Discord. I'm going to ask you his question and see what you think about it. He says, with the absence of Ja, win or loss, what habits would you like to see the Grizzlies work on moving forward?
Wait, say that one more time. Sorry, I didn't.
Yeah. No, you're good. With the absence of Ja, win or loss, what are the habits that you would like to see the Grizzlies work on?
I think one big thing is cutting down on the unforced turnovers. I think we saw a lot of those against Boston. I mean, Boston is good defensively, but a lot of those turnovers were just on the Grizz. And I think with not having Ja, I think that's going to happen. I mean, when you got a guy in Cal, but they didn't do it tonight, though. Cal or Tyus didn't do it tonight. But when you don't have your star point guard, I think you're going to probably – you got other guys handling the ball. They're going to make mistakes at times. I think that's one of the big things. And I think that was huge in that Boston game. So many live ball turnovers where Boston were able to take advantage of. It's one of the big reasons why they kind of got ran out on them there. I think that's something that I would like to see them work on. And they cleaned it up tonight. So if they can do that, stay clean going forward, I think that's a big thing that can help them because they can score. I mean, they're still – even without Ja, these guys been out. They've been still putting points on the board, big points on the board in these losses. So just keep clean up the turnovers, and I think they'll be good because they on the offensive end and keep playing defense like they did tonight, and I think they'll be in a lot of games.
I agree with you, man. Yeah, they had looks like 15 tonight as a team. And honestly, you take away – Dylan had two of them back-to-back that were pretty bad.
Yeah, they had two bad ones there.
He had a third one where he went to – he was bringing it up the floor, and he went to pass it to JV and just airmailed it. So, you know, you take those three away from it, you know, it knocks them down to 12, and that's a pretty solid game. So, I think Dylan, you know, even with his flaws, I love Dylan. You know, he played a great game, and I tweeted out about him, you know, keeping up the defensive intensity and staying out of foul trouble. And then, like, almost on cue as soon as I hit in here goes a whistle, and it's Dylan getting a foul. And
I know. It seems to always happen. Anytime you tweet anything out like that, it always happens. Like, he's like, oh, this guy's playing really well. Look at this here. And then he does, like, three bad things in a row. It's inevitable almost every time. One thing I did want to touch on is JV. People have talked about his defense and how he's kind of slow-footed on the defensive end. But I think tonight, when he does the type of things that he did on the offensive end tonight, it kind of makes up with it. It kind of goes to your point with Dylan. You have to take the good with the bad. And when Dylan and JV are scoring and doing the things they did on the offensive end tonight, it kind of makes up for the bad they do. So I just kind of want to throw that in there.
Yeah, you know, I've touched on that. One thing that I think that he could clean up on the defensive end, and it's not even – like, it's not his speed. It's just the way that he plays – I call it center field defense – he plays so far back when they're running a pick and roll. If the guy that he's guarding, if the big he's guarding can shoot it from the outside, he's going to have an open shot every time, every single time. Cause JV is playing way too far off of that screen. And I'm like, man, I know you're 7 foot tall and you got a monster standing reach, but you got a guy, Aldridge murders him.
Oh, man.
When we play the Spurs, Aldridge wears him out. And, dude, I almost want to turn the game off because it's getting my blood pressure up. Watch. I'm like, oh.
I mean, I had dreams that night of that standstill jump shot. I hate that. I mean, he kills us so much. But, JV really struggles with Aldridge, too, because any big, like you said, that's going to shoot perimeter shots, they're going to have a field day against him again, like with the way he plays defense.
Nico Melli for the Pelicans done it to us last year in the game where the Pelicans just – I think they beat us by like 30-something, and Melli was just wearing him out. And that's – you can't fit – like, he's not going to get any faster. That doesn't get better.
No.
But the distance that you're playing off of that bar, off of the screen, you can fix that. Rely on your help defenders. You know, if you go up there – and Aldridge or Melli or whoever, you know, you can insert any big man that has handles. If they blow past you, rely on your helpers. Don't give them that open shot. And that's the one thing but like you say, when he's aggressive against a smaller lineup and he produces the way that he did tonight, you know, he 14 points, 10 rebounds, when he's doing good stuff on the offensive end, I can deal with that. I love JV. He's one of my favorite guys on the team. But
same year.
That's just something, you know, I my wife thinks I'm nuts because I will be screaming at the TV knowing he can't hear me. I know he can't, but I'm like, oh, two steps forward. That's it, man. Two steps forward. And you semi-contest that shot.
But it happened, and once Darren and Justice Winslow are back, that'll help him as well with being in the lineup with him, guys that can that are long and also can rotate over. I think that'll help him. But yeah, I mean that's definitely something that he struggles with. But again, he's one of my favorite players because I just love him. He's so tough on the offensive end and he's so skilled. And I mean I like when he hits that front court, that top of the key 3-pointer. I like that. I mean I just like him as a player. I've always liked him. I even liked him when he was in Toronto, and I was kind of glad that they got him when they decided to move Mark. So, but yeah, I mean, that's something that you just got to deal with the good, with the bad. But again, I think when Jaren comes back, I think that'll help a lot.
So I want to ask you about Dylan. And then, after this, I'll let you get off here, man.
Man, I'm good to go, man. We can go all night.
You know, he's been doing better. You know, he's Dylan. He's going to take some crazy. He had one shot tonight. It was kind of like a, I don't even know what to call it, man. Because
that backwards flip shot or whatever that.
Yeah,
that
was. And he does stuff like he hits some crazy shots like that. I know he does that frequently, so he's gonna have stuff like that. But he's been doing better as a playmaker this year. So, like, what do you think that's something moving forward that he's really going to be able to elevate in his game? Do you feel like he's got that in him?
No doubt. I mean, he kind of talked about that before the season started. His kind of two goals were to be more of a playmaker and to stop fouling. He did have 5 fouls tonight. I think that 4th one was ridiculous. I mean, it wasn't a foul, but I think we've seen it through 5 games here. And I mean, he's doing a pretty good job, and that's even with guys being out, with him needing to score more. So I think that's even a better sign that he's been dependent on even more than he was before to be an offensive guy. And the fact that his assist numbers are going up, I think that's a really good sign. Especially when you get Jai and guys like Jaren back, Winslow, and guys that are gonna score as well, I think that bodes really well for him to be doing it already. Those guys out, and I think that could only enhance that ability. And that's good to see, because I mean that's kind of what we've talked about, him just throwing up all these wild shots all the time and not passing the ball, especially sometimes in the bubble where it was really bad. It's good to see that here early in this season, and I think he's a long-term piece for this team. I don't think he's the starter. I think they got to bring somebody else in. I think that's kind of that missing piece. I think when Dylan is in his real role, I think he's got a miscast right now on his team out of necessity. I think he'll be great sixth man for this team off the bench. But as of right now, I think playing within the offense and playing within in himself, I think is really good to see. And I think it's sustainable because, I think with him doing it with guys being out, I think makes it even better that it's happening. And when you got guys back that are going to take some shots from him away from him at times, I think it'll be even better.
Yeah, I love to see it, man. I've been a Brooks supporter, man, almost day one, really, you know, and that's, I've not been on the hate wagon. There's stuff that he does, you know, I'm not going to sit here and act like he doesn't make mistakes. I'll be with you. You know, when he takes dumb shots or he's, you know, just pulling up from everywhere, drives me crazy sometimes. But I think that him realizing about the holes in the games and, you know, saying, hey, I need to be a better playmaker. I need to, you know, improve my vision, essentially. And he knows that. He's 24 years old. He's being coachable. If he gets to the point that he's not coachable on something, okay, then you have a problem. But right now he's listening. He's being receptive. And, you know, I hope he continues to grow, man. I think he's definitely going to be a good piece moving forward. And I really like him, especially after the recent contracts that are being signed, what they got him for. I will, I'll take it all day long. I still, Luke Kennard, man, I don't know.
Man, I don't know what they were thinking on that deal. When I saw that contract, I was like, I know Dylan is like on his phone with his agent asking, man, what were we doing when we signed that deal, man? Luke Kennard's getting this, but
yeah.
I think Dylan kind of, he was really hard on himself in the bubble, man. You could tell he was frustrated. And I think during the short offseason, I think he reflected and looked back on some of the things that he'd done. I think he wanted to improve. And like you said, it's good to be coachable and know that there's some things that you can improve on. I know some people kind of said he was kind of bullheaded and didn't want to listen to the coaching, but I think he's showing this year that he is willing to be coachable, and that's what you want to see at a guy like that. And I mean, he's trying to correct his mistakes. I mean, he's still fouling a lot. I think he gets some foul calls that probably not deserved, but I think a lot of those calls just simply, I mean, he plays so damn hard. I mean, I think that's that's what a lot of those fouls come. I mean, he's doing it in the vein of he just wants to win so bad. So I don't really get upset with guys like that. When he does throw up those bad shots, I kind of block it out because I know when I think about this team, I know they need him to score, and you just kind of have to take some of those bad things with the good. And I think a lot of it, I've said it here on the show before, I think a lot of that just goes in to him trying to make something happen because he wants to win. I don't think it's necessary selfishness. I think he thinks he's one of the only guys that can score on this team. So he just sometimes he does more than he should. And I think that is all in the vein of trying to win games, I think.
Sure. Yep. Agree with you 100%. All right. Last thing, whenever you finish this, let everybody know where they can find you and we'll get out of here. We're looking at the Lakers for the next two games at home. Give me three things that the Grizzlies are going to have to do in order to win those games against the Lakers.
Man, it's going to be tough. Going into those games shorthanded, I think you're probably going to catch a break in one of those games. LeBron is dealing with an ankle injury. He's playing through it right now, but I wouldn't be surprised if he sat in one of those two games. If he played in both of them, I'd be kind of surprised. I think one of those games, you're going to get some – they're going to set some guys in one of those games. I think LeBron is probably going to set in one of them. But, I mean, they're definitely going to have to keep up the intensity on defense. Defensive rotation is going to be fantastic, just like we saw here tonight. I think rebounding is going to be a big thing in that game. You're going up against – you got guys like LeBron and AD and Mark and guys that can really rebound the basketball. I think you're going to have to show up the boards. It's going to be tough because they got a lot of size. JV is going to be huge in those games. And I think point guard play, you can't turn the basketball over. We talked about that. I think Tyus and Kyle are both going to be crisp with their passes. And I mean, they're going to have to play nearly perfect basketball in order to win each one of these games. If I had to pick, I think they'll find a way to win one of them. I think they'll go 1-1. And I think you'll be looking at the 3-4. And I think going in, I said 4-3 at that point. So I think that's not that bad with the situation that they've been in.
Yep. If they can win one of those games, I will be, there's not a good enough word to describe how happy I will be. It's definitely going to be a struggle. So guys, we're going to get out of here. Thanks for tuning in. We appreciate you. We will be back. Sunday is the first game at home FedEx Forum against the Lakers. We'll be back with a post game. I may holler at Isaac again, see if he can hit me up with another post game. Sam may be back. We'll see. Isaac will be in. Man, I'll get you in for one of them for sure. Either Sunday or Tuesday, I'll get you back in for another post game. Let's shoot for Tuesday. How about Tuesday?
Let's do it. All right, awesome.
So we'll get Isaac back after the two games with the Lakers, but we'll be back with another post game Sunday after the Lakers-Grizzlies matchup at the Forum. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time, go Grizz. What's up, guys? Going to drop in here real quick at the end. I forgot to drop the Twitter handles before we got out of here. You can find Isaac on Twitter. He is at Isaac_Rivals. Isaac, thanks again for coming on, man. We'll see you on Tuesday night. The show is at Hootball Grizz. I'm at DWell2111. Sam is SammyB1118. You know what it is, guys. Thanks for listening. Until next time.
This has been a Hoop Bowl presentation.